will speak, Lord God. I pray that it will be from your heart, Lord God. And it will be something that blesses your people, Father. I pray, Father, that you would send your spirit, Lord, just to be in our midst and amongst us, in our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we can clear ourselves, our thoughts, Lord God. Every distraction, lay it down in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just want to glorify you, Father, for what you've done in our lives, Lord God, for everything that has happened up until this point, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are still wanting to use us, Lord God. You still want to be with us, Lord God. No matter how much we miss you, Lord God, no matter how much we miss the mark and we sin, Father, against you, Lord God, but once we come before you and we confess our sins, Lord God, you are just more than willing, Father, to forgive us every iniquity, every sin, every wrong that we've done, Lord God. You remove it from us as far as the east is from the west, Lord God. And there is no measure, Father, for that, Lord God. So far, you've flung it from us, Lord God, that you look at us, Father, anew, Lord God. We are a new creation every time, Father, that we just say those words and ask that you forgive us, Father, Lord God. And we mean it from our hearts, Lord God. You know our hearts. You search our very being, Lord God. You know and understand who we are, Father, to the very core of ourselves, Lord God. Things that we don't even ourselves understand, Lord God. You understand above all, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able, Lord, to comprehend our shortcomings and compensate for that through your Son, Lord God. And that we are able, Lord, to stand before you, sing before you, glorify you because of the sacrifice that he made for us, Lord God. And because of that sacrifice, Lord God, we can come freely to your throne, Lord God, call you Father, Lord, have relationship with you. And that is just mind-boggling, Lord God, that we can have this eternal gift within us, Lord God. And it just allows us, Lord, to worship you, Father, to speak with you, to have relationship and have something that the world yearns for, Lord, and doesn't understand, Lord God. And it's a simple gift, Lord God, that's open to everyone that's willing to look and receive, Father. For you say in your word, those that seek will find, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can find you in this place, Lord. That we can find you in your word, Father. You're not hidden somewhere, Lord God, where nobody can find you. For then we would not be here in this place. And we just thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace, Lord God, that you are willing, that you stand there. You stand in a place where everybody can see you, Lord God. You're not ashamed like us human beings, Lord God. You are God of creation, Lord. There's nothing that can stand in your way. Nothing that can stop you, Father. And that is just, it's that immeasurability of who you are, Father. It just blinds us, Lord God, because we don't understand. We as human beings want to understand so much, but we comprehend so little, Father, of who you are and what you've done. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord God, that your word will be alive to us, Lord God. It will bring understanding, will bring truth, Lord God, that speaks to our hearts and our minds and just allows us, Lord, to be quiet before you and realize that you are God. And just come to an understanding of what it means to be God and what it means to be you, Father. And we just glorify you for your presence in this place, Lord God. And that we want to glorify you, Lord God, as we sit, as we speak, Lord God. It's just to your glory, Father, that we can understand, Lord God, exactly what it is we're doing in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. I think a lot of guys prayed already, mostly of what my sermon was about, but it's also something that I was preparing. It was just, God gave me a word, and I sort of, okay, I need to run with this. I need to bring this word to you. And then I'm an engineer by profession, so I'm very analytical and very critical, and I want to know, okay, this goes there, so, but why does that go there? Okay, now that's connected to this, and that's going to there, and then as I sat down to start preparing this word, I started with that mentality. Okay, God gave me this word. Okay, where does this come from? This goes there. This is how that's connecting, and that's where that's running. And then as I started this journey, I wanted to bring you these pages. It's about 25 pages in here. And I realized, God, you are bigger than the word that you gave me. I cannot comprehend. I could not understand it. So it was like, I don't know what to say, God. I don't know how to go from you. It just doesn't stop. And it was just an amazing place to really come to God and say, God, I don't understand. I don't know. I know your word, but your word is so much more than what we think. Sometimes you think of the word and you think you understand it until God takes it and breaks it open to you, and it's like new revelation. Something you've read 100 times before, and it's new revelation, new wine. And it's just, it doesn't stop. And it's really a blessing, I think, to be able to preach, to bring the word of God to people, because God just allows you to experience Him anew. There's something different to when you just read the word. There's something different to when you know you must bring something to the people that God really has on His heart and has a yearning for you to know and understand. And God births something in you that's just impossible to describe, because there's just a blessing in reading the word. It just opens up some new dimension to you somehow. I can't explain it, but I experience it over and over and over. And my life is so busy, and I get so busy with stuff, and I forget to read the word. I forget to pray. Yes, I'm a sinner. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I don't actually deserve to stand here. I realize who God is. I miss Him so many times, and it's my own fault. But when we connect with Him again, He is just so gracious that He allows us just to experience Him new. And it's just an amazing journey with Him that I can really testify of my life, walking with Him, seeking Him, walking away from Him, walking back to Him. And that's just a journey that He is so amazingly merciful and gracious that our hearts are unable to comprehend the magnitude of His love. And that was where this sermon actually started. And Pastor Philip already rebuked me on going on too long. So I really tried to keep it short and sweet. Now the main topic I wanted to start it on was seeking God. Now I can already see all of you start thinking, okay, where is this going? And as I started to think about this, what does it mean to see God? Where are we? Because there was a specific reason I wanted to share on this, but then God just took me and shook me and said, but do you understand what it means to seek me? And basically, this basically sprung from the just looking at the news, looking at the world out there, looking at the desperation in people's eyes that's walking in around in Syria, that's being bombarded, killed. And there's just an amazing amount of misery and suffering. And that's just Syria. Now you go to Iraq. Now you go to Ethiopia. There are so many places that are in so much turmoil. And I just realized that we as human beings are such broken vessels, and we think in our own understanding that we can somehow fix this world. But because of our own brokenness, we cannot. If my cell phone is broken, it cannot fix itself. It would be amazing if it could do that, but it just can't. And it's the same with this world. God created it in a certain order, and we destroyed that order because of our sin. And we are unable to basically heal ourselves. And that's basically, there are so many amazing things that we can do with technology and science. But you just have to look to the world to realize that it is being broken even faster almost than God can repair and restore. Unfortunately, because we, as our nature is, our natural nature, not our spiritual nature, but that is, you can see the destruction in this world. And this is where I came from. But God, there are so many things, and we are missing you. Simply because God is able to give us insight, visions and dreams to understand, but this is going to happen. You have to prepare. And we are not prepared. As Christians, we are sitting here, not speaking of you, maybe you must come and tell us how to see God. But we are unaware of what God wants to tell us, how He wants to use us, in which direction He's trying to push us to say, but listen, you need to wake up and see what is in front of you. For you're walking to your deaths. And that's just a place where, okay, I'm now going into seeking God. But my sermon topic actually changed from seeking God to seeking the will of God the Father. And that is the topic, I think, that's there. You've got it. Okay, we'll be there just now. And it was just a place that God just wanted to show me, but do you really understand what it means to seek me? Because if you understood, you might be in a whole different place, a whole different understanding of what you are supposed to do here in this place. And that's basically where my challenge and our challenge as Christians lie, is just look at this world, look through the pain, look through the devastation and the chaos that we find ourselves in our own worlds, and we're not even in Syria. In my life, I've got huge obstacles, lots of issues that I think is huge, until I started looking at Syria and Iraq and I realized, but these are insignificant. This is things that I must just handle. This is something that, by God's grace, I can see it for what it is. It is small. And that's just a place where we have to say to people that God exists. And the world out there is trying to kill God and say, but there is no such thing. Just look at the world. Look at the destruction. Look at the deaths. Look at the suffering. And you want to tell me there's a loving God that created this chaos? How do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? Because this is what they see. This is what they experience. This is the mind frame that they are in. And we have to find that balance to tell them, listen, this is not what God created. This does not explain God's love, His mercy, His grace. This is not what the world's about, and this is where we find ourselves, that we have to know how to approach people when they almost attack us like that, because it is an attack in the world today on Christianity, what we believe. Why do you believe what you believe? How can you believe what you believe if you look at the circumstances of this world? And there's no way that we can stop that. I mean, just a simple example like South Africa. Angus Bachan called together a meeting for prayer for South Africa on the 22nd of April. Do you want to know what my first response was, honestly? What will that help? I'll admit that before you. That was my first response. What will that help? Until I started working on the sermon and I realized, oh God, I missed you. I'm sorry. It is not about what is being done or in our small perception. Okay, the guy wants to pray. Okay, let's pray. But how does that change South Africa? But Angus Bachan went to God. He went seeking for God and said, God, what must we do? And his response was, we must pray. We've got a date. You got a date. You got a reason to pray. And that is something precious that I have to repent of and say, God, I'm sorry. I missed it. I completely missed it. It's not for me to say, what will that help? It is just for me to say, God, must I be there? Must I go and pray with our brothers and sisters in South Africa and say, God, what do you want to do? And that basically touches on where I basically started realizing what this sermon is actually about. Where we are heading. What our heart's state is in. And that's basically for us to realize that we need to look back and see where Jesus is. Because so many times we start doing things, building churches, ministering to people, and Jesus is back somewhere there. That we come to a point where we realize, but oh God, this is going pear-shaped. Something is wrong here. Jesus? Okay. I have to go back where I started, where I left Jesus. He was not in this place where I am. And that's where we find ourselves many, I find myself many times. And I have to confess to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I missed you. And that is the thing that really touched my heart for Jesus, is what was Jesus all about? And it's basically summed up in one verse. John 5 verse 30. I cannot do nothing of my own self. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is judged. My judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that for me is the key verse for this whole sermon. And it's the key for what Angus Bachan did, because he went and sought the will of the Father. And that was the purpose of Jesus while he was on earth. It was not to go to the cross. You might think, what? No. It was to do the will of the Father, and that was the will of the Father. And he subjected himself to the will of the Father, said, God, I'll go. If that is what you want, I'll go to the cross. If you want me to die there and give up my life, I will do that. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And that's exactly what we are celebrating this weekend for us as Christians. Because we must be about God and about what he is doing, what he is planning. But this brought me to another question. Why? Why must we see God? What is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of seeking the will of God the Father? So that's a question of what does it look like to seek God? What does it look like to go and seek the will of God in your life? Did you seek God this week? Did you seek the will of God this week? And there's a difference. And that's another sermon. Seeking God and seeking the will of God. And there's just a summary of that difference is the season, the relationship that you have with God is where that difference lies. But like I said, that's another sermon. But did you see God this week? Did you earnestly seek him and ask him, God, what must be done this week? What is what you require of me this week? What is it that you require of me this Sunday? Must I go on holiday with my friends and family? Or is there a purpose that you're sending me to this church today to have a meeting with somebody specific? Where are we at? I was so guilty of this that I realized, God, I'm missing you completely. There is no way that I'm seeking you in this manner that God is explaining to us. And it's actually explained in one place, in Matthew 6 from verse 9 to 13. And you would know it very, very well. Our Father, the prayer that Jesus gave to us as an example of how we should pray. Now, this is just where revelation start to flow for me and realize, God, but this prayer that's so simple, so almost insignificant for me sometimes when I look at it, God just opened it up for me and said, but go and look deeper. Go and look at those words. Go and read them again. Go and understand what is being said there of me. And specifically of what Jesus is trying to convey to us through his words and his ministry. And it's just the revelation of what Jesus gave to us, and it's there for everybody to see. And I will just focus on that one thing, that one part of seeking God's will. The reason is there. Let's just read it together. Therefore, pray in the following manner, in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amazing. So what is the will of the Father? Verse 10. If you could just go back one, please, Mike. Michael. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The will of his Father is to see his kingdom come in this place. That was such a revelation to me this week, just preparing for the sermon. It was, that is the will of the Father, that his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've really never looked at it like this, but then I started asking the question, okay, but God, what does it look like in heaven? I could not answer that question. I never thought about it in that way to say, but God, your kingdom is supposed to come on earth. And that is your will. It is not to have churches, not to have outreach ministries or whatever. If that is the will of the Father, then yes, that's what we should do. It is not that we have ideas that we conceive ourselves and think, oh, that's an awesome idea, let's go do it. We first go to the Father and ask, what is your will? Where is your kingdom? What part of the kingdom do you want to see established in this place, in the sphere of influence that I am able to control and have an influence in and take it further? So that is almost a sermon on its own again. That I will just stop there and say, but what is the kingdom of heaven? And the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be established on earth. But why does God want to do that? What is so special about his kingdom that I'm missing for so many years now? What is it that he wants to bring here? And that's the question of what's so important about his kingdom. So I'll just focus on that small portion of that scripture, the first three from verse 9 to 10. It's just I took the words and I went to try and expand it for myself that I can understand and see what this is about. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I read a lot of scripture and then I started compiling these I took some poetic license and expanded them. Mike, if you can just go to the first one. Our Father who is in heaven, you are God. You are our Father and the Creator. You are above our earthly realm. You are spirit and your kingdom is spirit. Now, that's just me. This is not what I say stands there. It's just what I wanted, what I read from this. As I read the word, I was soaking it up. And this is just as it came to me, I just wrote it down. The last one, I went totally over the top, but I just summarized it there. And then, hallowed be your name. You are holy and righteous and awesome and worthy to be praised and worshipped. I think that's quite small compared to what actually stands there, what the actual meaning is of that word. And then the part of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like I said, yeah, I took a lot. You reign, your reign of grace and righteousness and love and mercy and judgment in heaven is extended to earth as is your will and purpose to reclaim creation from the death and destruction caused by the sin that we have committed. In doing so, giving up the mandate of the kingdom of heaven on earth, which you wish to restore. Now you can go on and on and on and on about this. But it was just for me, the kingdom of heaven needs to happen here on earth. It needs to come. And there's a reason for God. I don't understand it. I can't say, this is the kingdom of God. I have had a revelation of how we're going to do this. I cannot. I can just give the revelation that God showed me. But his kingdom has come on earth already. It is not totally come as we, in my mind, as I see it. Because this world would be totally different if God came and changed everything. If God touched everything. And he's wanting to. But he's waiting on us. We are plan A and there's no plan B. We are the ones that are supposed to bring the kingdom. So then I want to ask you, show me the kingdom of God. Show it to me. Where is it? I can show you the church. But it brings you to another question of what is the eternal church? What is church? We are the church. And that in its essence brings us to the point that we are the kingdom of heaven. We, the hearts that's been touched, has been changed. This is the kingdom of heaven. And it's captured the minds and the hearts of the people of who we are, what we're thinking about, what are we thinking, looking at this world, how God is wanting us to look at this world, and how God wants to use us to change the world. We have become the light, as he has come become the light in us. And we are supposed to be set on a hill so that everybody can see the light within us. But we have to be strategic in where we are placed. It doesn't help we go sit there in the corner and say, God, I don't want to be here. My light, I trust your light more, but that's not the case. God wants to use the light in us. He wants to use us to bring his kingdom into place. And we are that kingdom. So I really hope that this inspires you just to go and ask, what is the will of the Father in my life? And then you have to be really, really, really brave. Because if God responds, you have to be obedient. I think that's the main issue that we have of not asking God's will. Because we are too afraid of that answer that we will get. Because what he asks of us might be too much to give or to bear. So what is the will of the Father? Asking that question on this weekend that we are celebrating the Lord's sacrifice for us. God demonstrated his will and his love. Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is his love, his righteousness that he wants to establish on this earth. And he showed it to us on the cross. Okay, I will read this because I'm too afraid to try and memorize it from heart. So excuse me, I don't usually read, but I just feel I need to read this because it was just captured in my heart. There's no other way for me to say it. I can just read it. God's love and mercy and grace can clearly be seen and understood through the cross, where Jesus, according to the will of the Father, gave up his life on the cross. Where Jesus, the light of the world and the Son of the living God, the great I am, gave his life away to be humiliated and beaten and hung on a tree for all to see. So the will of the Father can create a moment in history to demonstrate his full commitment to his promises and his faithfulness of his word, to clearly demonstrate his love, his commitment, in that he gave his only beloved Son to bear our punishment upon himself willingly without regret and without regard for his own body or value, to show mercy to the extent of God's, the Father's goodness and love towards his children, that he cannot bear to see to be lost in the darkness of this world. And that gift was given in the grace of his mercy and extended towards all who would look upon the cross and would have to make the choice of their own free will to accept that gift or reject it. But now there is not enough knowledge, truth, pain, or suffering in this world that we can experience in our own lives, that we can look at the cross and say it is not enough. For Jesus demonstrated the power of God. He demonstrated the heart of God to all on earth. He was the hands and feet that came to seek and save the lost, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And these are just the words that men, in their limited capacity and understanding, received as a vision from God and tried to explain God's love, his might, his beauty with words. We cannot describe his awesomeness. Jesus is the risen. Jesus is risen and Lord. And Jesus is risen. How do we know this? As the world would agree that they can accept that the cross existed and that Jesus died on the cross and was buried. But to say that he is risen, that he is above death, that he is the great I am as he said he was, where is the evidence? The evidence lies in the fact that a bunch of broken-hearted cowards who had lost everything they had hoped for, worked for, sacrificed for an earthly kingdom that they had perceived in their hearts would be established by Jesus on this earth was lost with his death. And they could not comprehend that all the power and the love and the promise that he carried with him, now all the hope was lying with him in the grave. But Jesus wanted them to realize that his is not an earthly kingdom with earthly promises, boundaries, and limitations, but a heavenly kingdom that has no limits, and that he wants them to establish it here on earth by doing the will of the Father in heaven, being his hands and his feet upon this earth. And when every person and with every person that calls on the name of Jesus is saved, his kingdom is established, his light is extended into the kingdom of darkness. He has already won. His kingdom is already established. Hell can never stop it. We have to plunder hell and populate heaven, in the famous words of Reinhard Bonnke. So he rose from the dead and revealed his broken body to the downtrodden cowards. And there arose such a faith that hell could not contain or quell it until this day and forevermore. And only through the revelation of his being in their presence, of His being in their presence, could have worked the transformation of broken-hearted cowards to having a faith that could, that for nothing was impossible, nothing was unbearable, nothing was worth saving, but for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, for the Son that sits on the throne on the right hand of God, that intercedes on our behalf and for our benefit, those who accept and call on His name to be saved. Jesus is enough. Jesus is our reward. In John 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. We have received that life. And we are supposed to extend that life. And we can only do that if we know the will of the Father in our lives. And we've been called to an amazing commission. But it can also be a condemning one if you do not do what the God is calling you to do. What the Father is asking us to do. So it's not a place that we have to say, but oh God, I've missed you. Please bury me, take me away now so that I don't bear this pain of missing your voice, missing your... It's not the point of the sermon. The point of the sermon is to have you realize that it is more that God wants us to know, to understand, to experience, to really... But we have to seek Him with all our might, with all our passions, with all that we are. I think that's in Mark... Was it Luke? Luke 12. I don't think it's on the sermons, Michael. So if you guys just want to open your Bibles with me, Luke 12. I just need to find the verse. It's not there. Sorry, I just feel I need to read this verse. Sorry, it's Mark 12 from verse 30. It's a simple verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength. But that's a challenge on its own. I will send that home with you. Is what does it mean to love God with all your heart? What does it mean to love God with all your mind? What does it mean to love God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength? I don't think it's a parable. I don't think it's paraphrasing. I think it's literal. And it's quite amazing if you go and look at the Greek meaning of the words. It has such depth. I think the Amplified actually explains it better because it's 100 words where we only use about 20. The Amplified goes to 100 words. And it's just the depth of God's word, what He wants to explain to us. His passion, His love, all that He's about, and it's all for us. And that's who God is, that He loves us. But we have to be in a place where we're able to abide in His will. And do as He's called us to do. For me, that's an amazing challenge that I will take Him up on. I will go and seek the will of the Father and try and apply it to my life. I will probably not get it right every time. But that's that amazing part in the Father's Prayer that also comes to light. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's that grace part for us, that where we make the mistake, where we miss the mark, God gives us the ability to say, but God, I'm sorry. I missed it. Please forgive me. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Father God, we just want to come this morning, Lord God, and just thank you, Lord, for your word that is so amazing, Lord God. It's just an amazing revelation that you give to us, Father, of how you reveal yourself to us, Lord God, through your love, Lord God, your passions, your righteousness. Father, all that you are, you want to reveal to us, to our hearts, to our minds, Lord God, but so many times we are not ready to receive, Lord God, as we are still young in the spirit, Lord God. We are not able to perceive, Lord God, the depths of your calling upon our lives, Lord God. And we just want to bring it before you, Lord God, and say, Father, please help us to understand, Lord God, and help us to seek your will, that we can understand, Lord God, in which direction you want us to take, Father. And when we look at the world, that you are able, Lord, to give us direction, Lord God. Just as Angus Bachan is taking lots of believers with him, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless that meeting, Lord God, that they are able, Lord, to pray into being, Father, what you've called them to do, Father, that they will pray for your will to come in South Africa, to come in the midst of the chaos, Lord God, that you will restore the order, Lord God, and will be by your will, by your word, Father, not by the might of men and not by the wisdom of men, Father, but the knowledge of truth of who you are and what you will do and what you are capable of. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty, Lord, mighty to save, Father, and you are able to do more than we can comprehend, Father, and we bring it to your feet, Lord God, to say, Father, your will be done, not our will, Father, because in our limited understanding, Lord God, we want to react in certain ways, Father, to people that hurt us and harm us. We want to react in a certain way to our past, Father, what we've experienced and how we were hurt, Father. But you come and bring, Father, new revelation, Lord God. You bring, Father, new words of wisdom, Lord God. You bring words of resurrection, Lord God, that wants to bring us out of a place of bondage and sin, that we can stand, Lord God, in the presence of evil, Father. And the evil has to flee, Father, because it has no place to stand in our midst. As we walk in your light, Father, the light shines upon us and it shines from us, Lord God. And it illuminates the path that you set before us, Lord God. We pray, Father, that we will have the courage to walk where you call us to walk. That we will have the faith, Lord, to say the words that is in our hearts, Lord God. That we're able, Lord, to speak it, Father, for the justice that you've called forth, Lord God, for that word. We thank you, Lord, that you are more than able, Lord, to help us in our needs, Lord God. That you do not ignore the needs and the suffering that we experience, Lord God. That we can call from a place, Father, of desolation and destruction and call upon your name, Father, and you will answer. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are more than able, Lord, to help us. Lord, that you give us the wisdom and understanding, Lord, to stand, Father, when we should have actually fallen. And when we have fallen, Lord God, you show the mercy and grace to pick us up and set us on our feet again, Father. You are an amazing God, Father, and we wish to worship you and honor you with all that we are and all that we have. We pray, Lord God, that you would reveal to us, Father, that small glimpse, Father, that the angels have that's worshiping you day and night, 24/7. As it will never stop, Lord God. They will just say, glory, glory, glory. And it's from a place, Father, where they have no other way to describe or say, Father, what they see, what they experience, Lord God. You are righteous, Lord God. And you are holy, Father. And we just want to come into a place of relationship, Father, where we understand what it means to be holy. Understand what it means, Lord God, to see your love, your kingdom come upon this earth as it is in heaven, Father. We pray, Father, for your kingdom to expand, Lord God. For your kingdom to enter into our hearts and minds, Lord God, that we are able to see the steps we are supposed to take, the people we are supposed to meet, the people we are supposed to speak with, Lord God, that we will submit our will to the Holy Spirit that will guide us in every step in all truth. Lord God, that whatever we speak, whatever word is spoken in love is not wasted, Lord God. It is seed that is planted, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the seed that has fallen in this place. In the hearts of men and women, Lord God, that will take that seed, Lord God, I pray that it will germinate, Lord God. I pray it will come to, it will come to life and bear fruit and much fruit, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive in us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is resonating in our hearts, Lord God. Even as we just read the word, Lord, we pray for new revelation. We pray for new wine, Father. As your spirit leads us, Lord God, that your word just come and fill us again, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord God. And that your mercy, Father, is forever. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross. That you allowed your body to be broken, Lord. That you allowed your body to be killed, Father, for our sakes, Lord God. To bear the punishment of our sin. That we do not have to bear that punishment ourselves, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to stand in this place and call upon your name. And that we are saved, that we will be saved. And the people around us will experience the life, the joy, and the overflowing, Father, of your spirit in our midst. We just pray, Father, that you would just allow us, Lord, to understand, Lord God, the precious gift that we carry, Lord God. And how you want us, Lord, to give and present to those around us, Father. We ask that you forgive us, Lord God, the places that we've missed, Lord God, the opportunities that we've missed, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are more than able to do, Father, more than we are able to. We just pray, Father, that your will be done, Father. That we're able, Lord, just to stand, Father, before you one day and say, God, I've given you everything. I've given all, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that we will not be ashamed, Lord God, when we look back, Father. Even as Michael has said, Father, that we look, Father, to a place, Father, where we think, did I give too much? We are condemned by that feeling of giving too little, Lord God. We want to be in a place, Father, of giving too much. And we thank you, Lord, that will never be. There will never be too much love, Lord God. There will never be too much grace. There will never be too much mercy. There will never be too much forgiveness. That is your kingdom, what it's all about, Father. It's the peace and the joy that just abounds, Lord God. And we want to pray that into being in this world, Father. Help us to understand exactly how to do that, Father. Lord, we pray your blood over our lives. And we just pray, Father, that we are able, Lord, to have that sacrificial mindset, Father, as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want you guys to remain seated. We will just have communion as well now. I don't know if anybody has something to share, maybe on their hearts that you, God just spoke to you, he wants to reveal something. You're more than welcome to come to the front and share it with us before we take communion. Just two people that God revealed to me. The first is just, you want to have a relationship with God. You don't have that relationship that you see around you or somebody's explaining to you. And the second person is just that while I was preaching on the will of God, you were just really convicted of something in your life. Those are just two people I feel in my heart. That if that's you, please just come to the front. I would love to pray with you and pray for you, whatever that is for. If there's anybody here that you have never met Jesus, accepted him into your life, I would really like to extend the invitation to you as well, that we can pray with you and explain to you what it's all about. But I doubt that, but I just want to put it out there that you can understand what it means to have a relationship with God and to give your life to him. Okay, so those two people, if you're not too ashamed or that's not you, it's okay, you can go and drink some coffee. The other people can just remain seated. We'll come and pray for you where you sit. Otherwise, guys, thank you for being here. God bless you in this weekend still ahead and the week that lies ahead. And we hope to see you here soon again. Please remember Encounter 2 next weekend. It's really an amazing encounter to have. So please, if you have time, please put down your names at the back and then come and join us next week, Saturday, from 9 to 3. Amen. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Blessings.